We were chatting around the dinner table this week, and Jordan was sharing how one of his friends has this goal of getting into medicine next year. He's a good friend, he's really diligent in his studies, and they've been hanging out all through school. And so to get into medicine, he needs obviously a very high ATAR, 99 point whatever it is, to get into medicine these days. And as a result, his friend is very disciplined in his studies. And he's extremely conscientious and focused to ensure that he'll achieve that ATAR and achieve that goal of getting into medicine. And if his A-plus average over the first few years of school and his recent exam results are anything to go by, he's certainly on track to achieve that goal. Virtually every person or organisation that achieves outstanding results in life has goals or targets that they aim for. Whether that's a listed company aiming for a particular earnings per share, or an athlete aiming to win a gold medal, a charity seeking to reach its fundraising target, or a phone company wanting to be first to market with the latest technology, every high-achieving organisation person has goals and targets. What about a Christian? What's the goal of discipleship? This term, we're looking at the theme of discipleship. Our mission here at Church of the Peak is we live to be and make disciples of Jesus. And so we want this year to start off with the right focus, the right attention, the right priority. And so we're going to explore this idea, what it means to be and make disciples of Christ. But we want to do more than just explore. Our prayer this term is that we would be transformed as we look at what it means to be and make disciples, that we wouldn't just come away with more knowledge, with more understanding, but that we would actually be moulded and shaped and transformed, and that there would be some noticeable change in us. Now, last week we spoke about the 10-week challenge of discipleship. John's alluded to it already. And I ask you to imagine a photo of yourself as a disciple of Jesus last week as we began our series, and a photo of yourself at the end of the series in April when we conclude, and whether there might be any noticeable change. It may not be noticeable to us, but hopefully it will be for you. What would be different? How would you have grown? What would have changed? Last week, as we looked at the theme of the call to discipleship, we saw that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who suffered, and that he is at the center of Christian discipleship. And he calls on people everywhere to follow him, to take up their cross and follow him. And that's a hard road, because it means denying yourself. But it's a pathway worth following, because in the end, you save your life. Today we're going to be exploring the theme of the goal of discipleship. If we're going to be following Jesus as the Christ, if we're going to lay down our life, deny ourselves, take up a cross for him, then where are we going? What's the destination? What are we aiming for as disciples of Christ? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's pray and ask God to help us do that and do his work in us. Let's pray. Lord God, thanks for this time that we can come and unpack your word and think about this theme of discipleship and what it means for us to follow Jesus. Please be with us now as we consider the goal that we have of following Christ. Speak to us by your Spirit. Reveal yourself to us and where we as your disciples need to be shaped and moulded as we follow Christ. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it would be great if you could keep your Bibles open there at Matthew chapter 11 as we begin to unpack these few verses. I want you to draw your attention to verse 28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, these verses are a wonderful contrast to what we looked at last week in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross. He must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." We looked at that in our Bible study on Monday night. It's a wonderful contrast because it shows that when you come to Jesus and you follow him, yes, it's a tough road to follow Jesus. But it's also a road which brings great blessing and joy. For he will give you rest. Not rest from your labour, not rest from your work, rest for your soul. There's a letting go of burdens and weariness and anxiety that is experienced when you come to Christ and put your trust in him and follow him. However, that promise doesn't come without condition. For Jesus says there in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Disciples of Jesus are to yoke themselves to Jesus. If you want rest for your soul, Jesus says you must yoke yourself to me. Now, what's a yoke? Well, as you can see from our image up there, it's a large wooden beam that straddles the necks of two beasts of burden, like an ox or a donkey or a horse or something like that. And often they're yoked to a plough or a cart to pull it along. And by yoking the two animals together, they would work together to pull in the same direction. But also the image conjures up images of slavery. In biblical times and in more recent times where slavery has been more prevalent, often slaves were yoked. They would be put on them as to indicate that they were under the slavery of a master. And so to take up the yoke is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for service and submission and obedience. For accepting the authority of the other, like oxen that are yoked together to plough in the service of their owner, or slaves that bear the yoke of their master. And so when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he's inviting people to come follow him, serve him, and submit to him. But notice there's a purpose when we yoke ourselves to Jesus. For he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus wants his disciples to come alongside him, to walk with him, and to learn from him. Now, in the original language, the word learn has the same root word as disciple. And so, therefore, it's no surprise that the word disciple literally means learn through instruction. A disciple is a learner or a student, someone who is apprenticed by a teacher who teaches them. And so if a disciple is a learner, you could say, therefore, discipleship is learnership. And therefore, to be a follower of Jesus is to be a disciple and therefore a learner. And it's not enough to indicate you want to be a follower of Jesus. No, being a disciple and yoking yourself to Jesus means submitting yourself to him and learning from the master and the teacher himself, the Lord Jesus. So to help you illustrate the point, I think about how Luke Skywalker yoked himself to Obi-Wan Kenobi in order to learn to be a Jedi Knight. Or Ralph Macchio yoked himself to Mr. Miyagi in order to become the Karate Kid. Friends, the thing or the person that is going to influence you most in life is the thing or person you yoke yourself to. It's one of the reasons why, as parents, we want our kids to choose their friends wisely. Because if they yoke themselves to the wrong crowd, well, they can so easily go astray and down dangerous paths. It's one of the reasons why rugby league players are often so keen to be coached by Wayne Bennett. He's the best in the business. You want to be the best rugby league player you can be, you want to be coached by Wayne Bennett. And so players want to sign up for the clubs that he's coaching. The thing or the person you yoke yourself to is the thing or the person that will shape and mould you as a person. The question is, who have you yoked yourself to? Who or what are you learning from? Who or what are you allowing to shape and mould you and your character? Have you yoked yourself to Jesus? Or have you yoked yourself to something else? It could be career. It could be that lifestyle dream that you've yoked yourself to. It could be another person. It could be a political ideal. Whatever it might be, whatever is the thing that you're most committed to will influence what you think and love and do. It will shape your heart, your head, and your hands. Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For it's only when we yoke ourselves to Christ and we learn from him that we will experience rest for our souls that he promises. So what was the goal of discipleship that the disciples are seeking to learn from Jesus? Well, for sure there was a body of truth that they needed to learn from Jesus. A critical aspect of Jesus' mission was teaching people and teaching his disciples about himself, about him as the Messiah, about God, his Father, about his mission to come and seek and save the lost, about what it means to follow him as the Messiah, what it means to be a disciple and be shaped as a disciple who follows Christ. And so, for instance, we see earlier in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus took, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside, sat down, his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Teach them about the kingdom. Teach them about him. What it means to be a disciple. Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Matthew 11, verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And so there's a body of truth that Jesus was teaching, the good news of the kingdom and how he's the Messiah and the king and the ruler of that kingdom. And the disciples needed to learn and understand that. However, in the case of the disciples, the outcome of this learning was not simply intellectual understanding of what they're being taught, like an HSC student seeking to learn the syllabus for business studies or chemistry or modern physics. No, what the disciples were learning from Jesus was much more than that. It wasn't just knowledge. It was a way of life based on the truths of what they were learning. The goal was not only to know what their teacher knew, but to also be like the teacher, to walk in his ways. They weren't just learning the subject, they were learning the person. And this is in part why followers, learners, disciples follow their teacher around. They not only listened to his words, but they saw his words put into action, being lived out. And they tried to emulate and learn from that way of life as they lived and followed him constantly. And so a disciple is someone who is devoted to learning Jesus, which is why Jesus uses this powerful image of the yoke of him and learning from him. When you're yoked to someone, you've got to walk together with that person in the same direction. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus and be yoked to him and walk in a different direction. It sort of conjures up the image of, if we go back to that other, the image of the ox and the yoke, of a more mature ox being yoked to a younger bullock or a younger ox. And the more mature one shows the younger one the way, how to do it, where to go, how hard to pull, when to pull. The younger one learns as it treads the path alongside the older one. And so as disciples walk alongside Jesus, taking their yoke upon them, they learn to be like Jesus. We see this reiterated elsewhere in the New Testament. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son." Tom prayed that prayer for our youth student, our youth guys today, that they'd be conformed to the likeness of the Son. The Apostle John says similarly in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." So friends, another way of saying the goal of discipleship is saying it's to grow in Christ's likeness, to grow, to become mature in Christ. As we sang in our kids' song earlier this morning, "I want to be like Jesus." There's the goal. Now, hopefully, this is a little bit going on in this slide, but I've tried to capture a number of things, but the essence of what I've tried to capture is there. The goal is for everyone to be moving metaphorically from left to right towards the goal of maturity in Christ here. So moving to the right along this direction to be mature in Christ, out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of Son, coming towards conversion, becoming a believer and coming mature in Christ. Now this is true regardless of where you are on that spectrum. It's true for the Christian, it's true for the non-Christian. Both need to be moving towards Christ, moving to the right, moving towards conversion or moving towards Christ in maturity. And so as we think about what it means to be and make disciples of Jesus, being a disciple means moving to the right, moving towards maturity in Christ, being like Jesus. Making disciples means you and I helping others move to the right, becoming more like Jesus. Because the goal of discipleship is maturity in Christ. So friends, this reality as a church, as we begin thinking about our year together, needs to shape all that we do, both individually and collectively as a church. So for instance, if you're a growth group leader, or a kids church leader, or a youth group leader, if you're a discipleship mentor, or part of the Mainly Music team, if you teach scripture, your goal is to help those that you're ministering to, under your care, to move to the right. That's your primary goal. And so, friends, a good thing to be asking yourself is, where are the people at on that spectrum who are under my care? And in what way can I disciple them and encourage them to grow in Christ-likeness, to be more like Jesus? That's your goal. It's not just to run a group or a class or meet one-on-one and teach the Bible. That's good. That's vital. But teaching the Bible is just a tool or a process. It's not the end point. It's not the goal. Because we want to see the Word of God impact people's life so that they're transformed and shaped to be more like Jesus and move to the right. The goal is not just reading the Word with people, not just teaching a scripture class or teaching a youth group or teaching kids' church. It's how can I help move this person or these people towards maturity in Christ? If you're a parent, your goal is to be constantly helping your children move to the right and maturity in Christ. That's your primary goal. All other parenting goals are secondary to that. Whether that's teaching your children to read or write or to learn complex calculus or how to engage socially with friends or adults or teaching them to clean up or make their bed or learn to cook or persuading them that 5 seconds of summer is not the greatest rock band in the world. Whatever goals you have for your children, and no doubt they're good goals, they are secondary to your primary goal of teaching them to become like Jesus. Because that's the goal of discipleship. So the yoke of discipleship is a yoke of learnership. The goal of discipleship is to become like Jesus and mature in Christ. And the final point this morning is transformation of discipleship. Now the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." That word transform there that Paul's writing about in the original language is metamorphoso. I don't normally quote Greek in sermons because it's nerdy and it's unhelpful, but it helps to see that we get our English word metamorphosis comes from that. So it helps you understand what Paul's trying to explain what's happening here. Paul's point is when you're in Christ, when you're yoked to Jesus, you and I are metamorphosing. I know that's not a word, but you know, you get the point. We're transforming, we're changing when we're yoked to Jesus. We're not metamorphosing into butterflies, but into Christ-likeness. And notice how Paul says we are being transformed. Learning Christ is, as with most forms of learning, is an ongoing process. I was talking to Mark earlier. Mark runs our base camp program. Our Explorers program. Mark turns 21 on Tuesday, and he's saying, "Gee, wouldn't it be good just to get to a 21 and be mature, and you know, just to have made that process?" And he said, "But the Christian life's not like that. It's just ongoing." He said, "I'd love to be where you are, Stu, and standing where you are, and have learned all the things you have." And I think, "Mate, no, you don't, Mark. Yeah, lots of mistakes, but it's a lot. It's a process." Just like a maths student doesn't master extension maths the day they enroll in year 12 maths, so a disciple doesn't reach maturity in Christ the day they become a Christian. Learning to be like Jesus is a lifelong project. It's a lifetime of transformation that needs to take place for a person to become mature in Christ. And that transformation has to start somewhere. There has to be a moment where that begins, and it starts with hearing the gospel. And then the Holy Spirit applies the truth of that gospel and opens your eyes and softens your heart and convicts you to believe the truth that you need to repent and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. And when you make that step, that's a massive step. That is a movement out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. That's a transformation where you as a person or someone else you might know renounces the lie that they are at the centre of their own life. They recognise they are in a dark and lost state without Christ, and they turn to Him for the forgiveness of their sins in repentance and faith, and they follow Jesus Christ as their Master, Saviour and Teacher. That's a huge metamorphosis. Now friends, if you recognise you haven't made that step yet, then I want to urge you to make that step. Put your trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Turn your back on living life your way with you at the centre and yoke yourself to Jesus. Come to Him and find rest for your soul. If you've recently made that step and you're not sure what the next step is, then write on the comms card. Say, oh, sure, I want to know what the next step is for me. We'll get in touch, we'll chat, and we'll help you make that next step. Now, that step may happen really quickly. A person might hear the good news and immediately put their trust in Jesus. I was remembering my good friend Paul James. Paul used to be the senior minister here at Beverly Hills. You might have met Paul when he preached it on the 30th of December. It's great to have him back. Paul's conversion was like that. When he was younger, he and Sue had their first child, Murray, and they did what many people in those days used to do. They went to the local church for him to be baptised. And the minister said, okay, let me come around and talk to you about baptism. The minister comes around and they said, well, before we talk about baptism, let's make sure you understand what it is the Christians believe, because you're going to be making promises about raising your children to believe this. And they said, yeah, sure. So the minister explained the gospel to them, explained the good news of Jesus, how Jesus Christ came and died and rose again for the forgiveness of their sins. And you need to put your trust in Jesus. And if you do, you have eternal life. But if you continue to reject Jesus, then you remain in the dominion of darkness and under God's wrath. And he had two cards on the lounge room floor. He said, there's two ways to live. You can go your way and remain under God's wrath, or you can go Jesus' way and follow him and have eternal life. And he said to Paul and Sue, where do you stand? Which card are you? And Paul very diplomatically said, oh, I'm somewhere in the middle. And Gary very wisely said, Paul, there's just carpet in the middle. There's nowhere else to go. That night, Paul put his faith in Christ. He was converted. That might happen for some people. It doesn't always happen for people like that. For many others, it's a process. It takes time to move to the right and towards maturity in Jesus and become to know him as Lord and Saviour, step by step. But the timing's not that important. What is important is the movement to the right, maturity in Christ. Of course, when a person does put their trust in Jesus for the very first time, that's a huge step, but it's not the end. Because when a person yokes himself to Christ, there are a thousand things that God needs to work on in that person's life, in your life, to grow and transform and mould and shape you to be like Christ. Things about your character. Things that you need to understand. Things that you need to repent of. Things you need to learn. Things you need to let go of from your old ways of life before you follow Jesus. But as you yoke yourself to Christ, as you walk that path of discipleship, learning from your master, God will work in you to transform, shape and mould you into the likeness of his Son. Now this year, as we think about what it means for us to be and make disciples of Jesus, I want to challenge you with that 10-week challenge of discipleship, John mentioned earlier at the start, that I mentioned earlier. If you're convinced that Jesus Christ suffered and died for your sins, for your forgiveness, and give you eternal life, then that ought to demand a response, shouldn't it? And as I read the Gospels and I see what Jesus taught the disciples, it doesn't seem to me that you can believe the Gospel and be content to just trundle along in life and be half-hearted about Jesus and being a Christian. And so therefore, friends, I want to challenge you this today and this term, as I challenge myself, to prayerfully identify the thing or the things you need to work on to help you move towards maturity in Christ, to be more like Jesus. What is it for you? Where do you need to grow? What Christ-like character do you need to cultivate? What skill do you need to learn? What sin do you need to flee from? Where would you like to challenge yourself? What habit would you like to develop? Now, that may not be obvious now, may not be obvious today. It might become clearer as we go throughout the rest of the series. But I encourage you, friends, pray about it. Ask God, reveal himself to you and the work that he needs to do in you. And when it does become clear, write it down, share it with a friend in your growth group, pray about it, and if you need help, get help. And see how you might make a step to the right in maturity in Christ this term. Of course, in doing this, we need to remember, friends, that your salvation isn't riding on this. God's not going to see how you go or don't go and give you a pass or a fail. If you've yoked yourself to Jesus, you've already moved from death to life. You've already moved from darkness into the light. The wonderful thing about being yoked to the teacher Jesus is that this school isn't based on merit. It's a school where even though the pass mark is 100%, the final exam has already been done by the teacher. Being a disciple means being a learner. And as you yoke yourself to Jesus and learn from him, this will continue to have a transforming effect on your life. And as your heart and your mind keep being renewed, it begins to be expressed in actions and in your life. And as you unlearn old ways and old thinking, and as you continue to rearrange and reshape and reorder your life in ways that are more and more like Jesus. Friends, let's pray that we would become more like him. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son who came to this world to die for our sin, be raised to life, and give us the sure and certain hope of eternity and forgiveness. Lord God, help us to be so convinced of Jesus' death and resurrection that we will want to yoke ourselves to him, to follow him, to learn from him, to walk alongside him. And as we do, Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would shape and mould and change us to become more like Christ. Please, Lord God, by your Spirit, reveal to us the things in our lives that we need to obey you on, that require the transforming effect of your Spirit in us, that we would be obedient to those things and make that step towards Christ in maturity. We pray, Lord God, for those who might be here today who need to make that step, that first step towards conversion, that today might be the first day that they yoke themselves to Jesus, come to him and find rest for their souls, and that would be a great comfort. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.